Thank you, choirs. Both were very good. I appreciate that. And if that inspires you to want to join the choir or the bell choir, then just make sure you see Perry. We're doing it in such a way that trying to get as many people involved as we can, and so you're welcome to do that. I don't remember the movie we were going to see, but my sister, who's about 10 years older than me, was taking me to the movies. And we had stopped, as was our custom, at Frisch's already and got a big boy, and then we were on our way to the movie theater. There had been in my mom's car from a previous stop at a restaurant a ketchup pack. And I had been for weeks now, every time I'd get in the car, I'd grab that ketchup pack and kind of squeeze it and wrap it around my finger and squeeze. And so as we're driving and talking about the movie, getting ready to watch that, chaos erupted. As I squeezed that ketchup package, it finally bursted at exactly the right spot for it to shoot up into my eye. Now, the chances of that, right? And of course, if you think of all the vinegar and the salt and all the stuff in ketchup, it really burns. And so I grab my eye and scream out, because I didn't know exactly what happened, and my sister looks over, and all she sees is me holding my eye and ketchup all over, which she didn't know was ketchup at first. And she starts screaming, the car starts swerving, and finally she smells the ketchup, and so we ran home real quick. I changed my shirt, but then we sat in the movie theater, and the lady in front of us, she was with another lady, turned to her friend about at the beginning of the movie and said, "Do you smell ketchup?" It was all in my hair. But it is that moment that transitions an ordinary moment into something extraordinary. Ever since Easter's happened, one of the themes I've tried to lay forward and present to you is that all of these things that 2,000 years later we look at and we kind of have our way to celebrate them, and we wear red, and we, you know, or on Easter morning we have a meal, and we've organized all of these events of our Christian faith. But the first ones were just chaos. They didn't have the perspective that we have of history and all these different stuff. They were just simply in the moment. And I think it's really important for us to sometimes leave room that the idea of God breaking into our lives is not always a calm, peaceful moment. Sometimes it's chaos. And we have to be able to see that this faith that we walk, this way that we go, which the earliest Christians were called the people of the way, we have to recognize that the way works just as effectively when we are in the midst of chaos as it does when things are going smoothly and calmly. This is a faith, this is a journey we make that encompasses all of life, all of the pieces and parts. I look at this passage and I also see that it reminds us that life, whether it's our own or our church's life or human existence, actually happens in phases and in sections of the journey. It's not always the same. We can't expect that whatever phase we're in now will last forever, because that just doesn't happen. And the harder we try to hold on to it, or the more we don't recognize the changing of the phases and the changing of the journey, then we oftentimes will really miss out. It is our ability, as you've heard me mention once or twice, to wander into life, and as Richard Rohr says, to see Christ in all things. That is what Pentecost did and does. It is that moment of chaos breaking into life and changing us from one path to another. And so as we celebrate today and think about that, I just had one other thing that I wanted to bring forward about Pentecost. One is that it was born and still has the seeds of chaos at any moment. Coming to church, my friends, gathering together as the people of God, could be a very disruptive experience in your life. Any Sunday morning, you may walk in one way, and God may come as God wants, and you may leave another way. Not only does it have the potentiality of chaos and of change, but I think the core element of God's Spirit is what Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit. And I think one of the ones that we see on Pentecost in the book of Acts that isn't quite laid out specifically, but I think it's there, is joy. Now, look at the story for a second, and the Spirit comes, and these tongues of fire split, and they some of the translation sounds like it might say that they were bouncing from person to person. There was this movement of these little flames above people's heads. And then they pour out into the street, and people began to hear their own language. You see, Pentecost makes room for everyone to hear God and to be part of that. But then there's this interesting thing where they say they must be drunk. Now, why would they say that? Because they all heard their own language? I don't think that makes sense. I've had encounters with drunk people. They tend to lose the ability to speak their first language, not gather other languages that they've never spoken before. That's not one of the characteristics. I think what happens, and I think this is a very legitimate interpretation of the Scripture, is that the people poured out and were so happy and were so joyful and were able to connect with people. There were slaves there and free. There were men and women, all those categories. There were Jew and Greek, all these categories that Paul later talks about. They were there and they had this experience together. And people, the only time maybe they'd seen it before was when people were drunk. It was the joy, the uniqueness, the expressed and radical love that made people think those first of us that were on the way were drunk. Well, You know, they thought Jesus was a drunkard too, or demon-possessed. It seems like a lot of people can't handle great joy. Seems like people don't understand what to do with people that radically love each other and radically love the rest of the world. It seems like we're confusing to people when the very things of the Spirit live themselves out in our lives. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm okay with that. I think it would be okay for people of Lancaster and this county to look at us and say, oof, those grace people. Do they serve wine at church? Why are they so caring? Why do they love so much? Jesus says they will know that we're Christians by the fact that we love and care for one another. And then Jesus gives us the power to do that. Well, I say, let them talk. Let them gossip. Let them think that we have a bar or something down in the fellowship hall. Let us live a life as Grace United Church of Christ that makes people stand and wonder why. And we will say, Pentecost.